Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Nerdwatch Podcast. This is not Magnum. This is just another edition of the Nerdwatch Podcast. After Alika's ranting...
This continuity is really confusing me. I'm getting angry.
We had two last week, but because of Alika's ranting, we had to extend to another episode.
It was ranting.
We're overextended.
Yeah. So here's what's happening. First of all, I am joined by a comic book artist and comic book writer, Todd Bernardi in the house. Also joining us this evening is horror aficionado Gannon. He will not be here for long.
Movie watcher.
Yeah. Also, gaming guru Gannon. I'm getting everybody's name screwed. Gaming guru Format is in the house, and of course the chairman of the comic book board, and all around X-Men Fox movie hater. It is Alika. He's in the house as well. He's the guy with the Switch controller in his hand. You can see the red and the blue.
Yeah.
Doesn't
work.
We're going to talk about a lot of stuff coming up here very shortly here on Nerdwatch Podcast.
Or maybe one or two topics.
Part two.
we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, but we're going to argue about just one or two things.
So first show is called Martha is Hope, I think.
Martha means hope.
Martha means hope. That's it. Martha means hope. So we'll think of something for this one. But
does that mean Alika's going to read off another list of comics that are in?
Oh, no. Or it could be called Silver or Surfed. I'm not too sure which one I'm going to pick. I like
dropping them dope rhymes, yo.
Dope. But Gannon's got to get out of here because he has a
Jiggy Jar Jar dude.
He's got a long drive to the other side of the island, and he's getting tired. So God forbid he falls asleep at the wheel, which we would not want.
Just tell Jesus to take the wheel.
So to tell Jesus take the wheel, Gannon.
You should really consider changing your stage name to G Dash Zus.
No, that would be horrible.
Blasphemy.
Let's get right into this with
Jesus.
Let's get right into this with Gannon. He got to see this weekend's newest movie, Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
I got to watch it as well. Let's get Gannon's real quick impressions of Kong Skull Island before he gets out of here.
Of the giant
Gannon. Gannon. What say you about Kong Skull Island?
It didn't suck. Have a good night. No, it was good. I've been saying it a while, but I didn't go in with any expectations because this is the third or fourth go around from the classic movie.
Of course,
it's exactly what you would expect it to be.
Yeah,
but it's definitely more of a sizzle, not a steak kind of film.
Yeah,
because I would say ooh, the strongest stuff to do in the movie is the visuals and the set pieces and things like that.
I like the time period.
Even though it's got a good cast. It's very.
What is the time period?
They're very cookie cutter.
70s.
It's like set in the Vietnam era.
Ah.
But despite a good cast, they're very cookie cutter characters. So, and it doesn't feel like the actors are really given any
gusto,
any room to elevate those characters.
Agreed.
Any further than what the carbon copy of that character is in every movie you see.
Yeah.
Like Tom Hiddleston's character could have flat out been Chris Pratt. Could have flat out been anybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Tom Hiddleston didn't bring anything to it that would make it uniquely his. He just seemed oddly cast in that kind of a part.
Right.
So you're kind of hoping for him to elevate it, but he doesn't really.
Now for Kong, I actually
like Brie Larson is not too unlike what's her name, Julianne Moore in The Lost World.
Oh yeah,
kind very of sort of, similar.
Very,
characters.
You're right. I never even thought about that movie.
Very,
but you're
very
right.
Similar, yeah. And there's not a lot brought to it to kind of elevate it beyond the stereotype of that character in this kind of movie.
Agreed.
But like I said, the movie looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like even just sequences of there was an earlier sequence of John Goodman and his partner, I guess, in the company they work for, just walking through a street. I think it was in Cambodia or something like that.
Right.
They're just walking through a street, and it looked great. Like I couldn't get over how good the movie looked.
Right.
I actually enjoy it, and it might be because I lowered my expectations for it, but I really dug it.
Now, I did not know two things. Number one, I didn't stay till the end credits. Apparently, there was an end credit scene that I missed.
Oh, before you carried away. And God bless the filmmakers for putting Brie Larson in a nice fitting tank top throughout the whole film.
His name is Robert John Vaught.
I think it's Jordan Robert Vaught.
Yeah.
However you say it. It's V-O-G-T.
V-O-G-T. But I will say, I didn't know there was a post-credit scene, number one.
Oh, shame on you. I knew about it.
I walked out, didn't know that.
It's
I didn't think it would be anything, but I
it's
will
actually
say,
a good one too.
Is it? Yeah. Well, that's what I heard. I had read what it was. Now, I have to agree with you on all your points. I thought it was a fun movie. I thought the way the Kong was shot was really fun. The monsters were cool. It felt like a traditionally almost, I don't want to see B-movie, but it felt like a B-movie action-adventure story almost.
That's what it should have been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It felt that way very
much. I did
much.
Feel that the villainous monsters could have had a little bit more character design work
sure.
going on with them. Cause
agreed.
They just seem very boringly designed.
Yeah, like, I will say that. I agree with you on that. I also think that obviously, since this is the first... since this is set in the 70s, we now know that this actually comes before Godzilla in the MonsterVerse that Warner Brothers is making.
Well, spoilers. This is a shared universe.
Yes, it is. It's a shared universe. And one of the questions that I had...
Because Monarch is the... Is
Project Monarch, right.
Project Monarch is what you keep hearing about Godzilla, and you kind of see, not necessarily the beginnings of it, but you see them start to get the ball rolling on what they become.
Right.
And by the time you see Godzilla.
Right. So I will also say this. I thought Kong was a much more fun movie than Godzilla was.
And you want to know why that is? King Kong's actually in it a lot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's in it a lot, and he's actually and he's given actual great character moments
yes.
too, which is
yes.
which is very cool.
Some of those shots, some of the shots that they did with Kong were quite inventive and very memorable. When you have Kong looking into the helicopters the way he was, super cool visual effect.
Very inventive shots, too.
Oh, yeah. Supremely inventive shots.
I did see one criticism on the movie that they said that King Kong was in it too much because they basically said
wow.
that...
Wow. That's too good.
Because basically they were saying that like every time you come to it... Because the characters split off into different sects of the island.
Right.
And the reviewers saying, like, basically every time you see these characters, it feels like King Kong shows up. And I'm like, well, of course he would. Look how big he is.
Right, right, right.
Look how huge he is. Of course you're going to see him in almost every single scene.
Did you get the notion that possibly that the villagers in the movie were actually placed there and they were part of this overarching experiment?
Well, you know, that's kind of the thing about the Skull Island-ish of it that, and granted, maybe this is not the movie to do it, but... That would have been a very curious thing to explore in
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They're given somewhat of a backstory, but then there's that lingering question of, well, how did they end up there?
Right.
And their culture seems so far removed from everything else.
Exactly.
So, like, you kind of hope that... they're obviously not going to spend a lot of time with the villagers in the King Kong film.
Right.
But they make them so interesting looking...
Right.
In the movie that you're just kind of like, man, like, you could probably just done a movie about these characters.
Right.
And it would have been kind of interesting.
It's interesting because now it felt like to me Kong was the main story point and the human characters were more the backdrop. Before it was Kong was in the backdrop and all the human characters were at the forefront.
I would say they kind of nailed Kong a little bit better yeah. in this movie than in Peter Jackson's film.
I completely agree with you. I will say though that Peter Jackson's director's cut of Kong is a much better King Kong was a much better film than the theatrical cut. But you're right. They managed to do more with they managed to do more in this Kong movie with less time. And possibly even less money.
But and I think the reason for that is because for the first time they're exploring a new King Kong story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not a remake of the original film
right.
where you still have to hit all the points.
Oh, right. Word? It's a brand new
right,
story all the way through.
He never right. get yeah. They never take him to the mainland. They
right.
never
oh,
get him
nice.
Off the island. This is. I don't know if they're implying that this is a setup for that film,
right.
or if they're just saying, all right, this is King Kong in a different universe. His story is not going to go the same way anymore.
Brie Larson is not the beauty that tames the beast kind of addition feel.
Right, that's Tom Hiddleston. Right,
right. Yeah, it's yeah, yeah. Kong is gay. But I will say this. Kong was really great. I thought that the opening sequence with the United States and the Japanese soldier during, I'm assuming it's World War II, and they end up on the island.
It paralleled the Godzilla title sequence, too.
That was really cool. That first shot was really awesome.
They almost play the exact same way, like the way the title sequence goes for both movies.
Yeah, yeah. So overall, though, I'm going to be writing a review for it. I haven't done it yet. I will put it up, though. For me, I think that's a solid 3-star movie. I was going to give it 3.5, but just because of how a little hokey, a little campy, but I still liked it. I think 3 stars is about right.
I'll go so far as to give it a 4.
You give it a 4, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, the characters are what kind of brought it down a notch for me, because like, again, they're just so cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson's character is kind of interesting.
You know, that's, you know, that,
but
maybe that's why I give it a
logic issues, right, to what his motivations are, and you know,
right,
like, what is his actual plan to actually bring the thing down?
I think the thing that bothered me the most is that Kong wasn't in his actual costume. So
are you trying to troll me, bro? Because I'm always down for some yellow and blue spandex.
I will say
they got it pretty good, but they didn't put like the underwear on the outside.
That's right.
Well, normal Kong. So.
My thing is, with all the detail made to make him look as accurate to a gorilla as possible, there's certain anatomical lacking
exceptions.
Yeah,
he wanted to see King Dong.
King.
I don't know. So was
Dong
it?
Skull Island. Oh yeah,
Skull something. Yeah.
Overall, though, I what's funny is that I would actually
Did
recommend
they make
this.
The penis circumcised.
Stop it!
You don't even see it, dude.
This is not a Magnum.
You're like you're expecting it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in the age of Dr. Manhattan, anything goes, right?
Yeah. This is not. It's more of a family friendly thing. I would say I would recommend bringing the kids to it. It's scary enough. It's fun enough. I thought it was good. You bring the kids to it, not worry about it.
I don't know, though. The kids aren't really buying into if it's not Transformers, they're not buying into this giant stuff. You know what I mean?
Because like, the Transformers are king right now.
They didn't buy into Godzilla. Michael they didn't Bay buy into Pacific it. Rim. They didn't.
Well, they kept the costumes.
I don't know if kids are going to buy into Kong, but boy, do they love those Transformers for some reason.
To be fair,
all the close-ups on the explosions.
To be fair to Kong killed Logan at the box office this weekend.
That was more of the adamantium poisoning than anything.
That was another.
You can't blame the ape on that.
Crappy plot point.
Oh, here we go.
Nip that in the bud right now. Nip it.
It's done. I'm just saying it's a crappy plot.
Nip it right now.
2 hours later.
Change the subject.
We're not doing that. Anyway,
I don't know. I liked it.
And this is where all hell breaks loose.
Gannon, I'm really glad you enjoyed it. I figured it'd be right up your alley when I saw it. I was like, I think Gannon's really.
You know,
like
ironically,
the movie.
I'm not a big monster movie fan. I'm not into the kaiju thing like some cats are. But I honestly don't even know how I ended up seeing it that day. I think I was just cruising around my mom, and she was talking about it. I was like, oh, well, we got some time, let's go. So it's kind of cool, like, to go into a movie with zero expectations.
Sure.
Not
be pleasantly
being that
surprised.
Invested in it. So, I mean, that I'm starting to wonder if, like, maybe if we as fans stop getting so wrapped up into these movies before we see them, maybe we'll actually enjoy them more.
I think
that is very true. People have to consciously make an effort to avoid.
Because we follow a film production from the second it's greenlit, so we know every single detail.
Yeah, very true.
There's all this expectation built up for like 2 or 3 years, then it comes out, and it's not what you were wanting.
No, that's a good point.
It's also part of the fun, too, like how fantasy is a build-up to football.
There's a lot of pros and cons to it.
It gives you a feeling of participation, but I hear you. If you went in, like, just not knowing anything.
If you went into a movie blind, you might.
That's true.
There's a chance you might like it more.
I'm telling
I have
you,
a bad habit of calling it before seeing it.
I highly recommend.
I ruined a few for myself.
Like, I wonder if I would have liked Rogue One more had I not been following it so aggressively.
But getting back to center, highly recommend Kong Skull Island. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. You guys will like it.
Anybody watch Beauty and the Beast?
That comes out this Friday.
Oh.
This Friday.
So that's a no?
That's a no.
Okay. Along with the Belko experiment.
Yes,
can't
the Belko experiment
that.
Comes out this week, and it's actually coming here, if you can believe it.
I'm not surprised.
I
want to
see a crossover between the Belko experiment and Beauty and the Beast.
You know what the funny thing is that... That would,
can we do that?
That would be kind of cool.
That'd be awesome.
We put Belle in the Belko experiment.
Belko and the Beast.
Belko and the Beast. That's good. I didn't think it was coming because I remember that another great movie that came out in December of last year was going to hit in January was The Founder. Never came here, the one with Michael Keaton.
What's kind of got me bummed out about the Belko experiment, though, is that all the hype is that it's a James Gunn movie. And yeah, he wrote it, but he didn't direct it. So I kind of... I don't like that it's being thrown out as one of his movies.
Well, technically, it's directed by a guy who...
it's not really his... I mean, yeah, he wrote it, but it's... No.
It's directed by a guy named Greg McLean, I believe, and Greg McLean is the guy...
He did Wolf Creek.
He did Wolf Creek, and if I'm not mistaken, didn't he do a movie called Slow West? With Michael Fassbender.
If you did, I didn't see it.
Yeah, Michael Fassbender. But anyway, Belko Experiment comes out this Friday, which will be a lot of fun to watch. I can't wait to see that myself.
Even though the premise is a little borrowed.
Well, you know,
is it? Yeah, well, they keep calling Battle Royale.
Battle Royale meets Office Space,
and that's exactly the best way to describe it.
There's actually
some
cast members from Office Space in there.
Yeah.
Meets Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very excited to see myself. Gannon, I know you got to go, but before you go, did everybody have a chance to watch the new trailer for Wonder Woman?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was good.
I missed it.
I tell you what, man, I still
am not 100% behind that theme.
I hate the theme.
Yeah, but the trailer looks good. I'm excited for the movie.
Looks really good. I'm very interested to see where the story takes us. That's the only thing.
You know what though? The theme didn't fit because it was such a weird tonal shift in BVS. Maybe, just maybe, in the context of this new movie that's going to have its own tone, it might work out a little bit better.
Right.
Like, maybe the entire movie has music like this.
Yeah.
I will say this, when she...
In the context of BVS, it's so weird and such a shift compared to everything else.
When she does that little speech in the trailer where she goes, "I am Diana of Themyscira," and she does that, though, my heart kind of went, ooh. I was really like,
and I know, yeah, you know, I know.
But you do that with a lot of things.
I know we've been here before, but like, I feel like maybe this is the one that's going to turn the tide for DC.
Yeah, it's the one. It could be.
It could be because the tone is so hard to be right.
DC at this time because there's DC fans who are like scoffing right now, like Todd, who are like, the tide doesn't even need to be turned. They're doing just fine. I love them.
They're doing fine in the sense that none of these
they're
films
getting
have
the
flops.
Costumes right.
There's no underwear on the outside, man.
No, I don't know.
I will say...
Well, I know that's why you don't like it.
I do like... I did. The only thing that bothered me in the trailer was I thought that the accents of the Themysciran women was a little weird.
I was watching the trailer. I was thinking to myself, like, do they all sound like that? Because that's who they cast as Wonder Woman. You know what I mean? Like, they already cast her, and she has that accent, so you have to make it consistent. So they cast everybody and said, all right, you guys are going to talk like her now.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, so they have to make them all talk like that because Gal Gadot still has that accent. But you know what? She doesn't have a bad accent.
No, she doesn't. First of all,
it's not what I picture Wonder Woman to sound like, but I've never been to Themyscira, so for all I know, they do talk like that.
Secondly,
Jersey accents.
As beautiful, she is from Israel. She's Jewish, and she's absolutely gorgeous. And I forgive her for her accent. So it's completely fine with me. So I'm really excited. Right. I
feel like the tone is right.
The tone is right. Does anybody think that the gauntlets are a little big?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right.
Actually, gauntlets. I think that they criticized her for...
The bracers? I call them gauntlets.
I think they criticized her for having gauntlets that were a little too small, right?
You see, if they gave the gauntlets as you know them, they look a little bit too much like monocles.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if they gave her that exact... And plus, it's kind of a boring design. So what's wrong with the gauntlets? I think they're fine.
Oh, no. I didn't think there's anything wrong. I was just curious if anybody thought they were too big.
I think the look of Wonder Woman in the films is actually great.
Hmm? I'm really upset that she's not in chains more. Like, she needs to be in...
You're such an idiot.
She needs to be tied up and put into bondage.
I will say this. I did like the fact that she used the lasso. That was cool.
I do like
the lasso looks awesome.
Yep.
I do like the fact that they have not shown us Ares.
Yeah.
Even though we know he's in the movie, they have not shown us Ares. Nope. Unlike BVS, it shows Doomsday two trailers in.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of...
So there was that surprise.
We're not there yet.
Do we think that we're stuck
in... We might still get one.
There could be.
are we going to be in the entirety of the film until the ending in the World War I time period, and then we're going to jump forward, or are we going to stay completely in the World War I time period?
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, as in, are we going to, because she's
like obviously... If her franchise continues, are we stuck in
no,
the...
No. I mean, in this one, are we going to excel to...
Do
we start seeing her making it to the Justice League or making it to the future?
I'm pretty sure that all this Wonder Woman movie is to give us the background story that they were hinting at in BVS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
To explain the picture and to explain, you know, how she turned her back on men 100 years ago or, you know, all those things that she said at the end of BVS. I'm pretty sure that all this movie is just to give you the background behind that, which is fine because it's still her origin story anyway.
Gotcha. So it's not necessarily a film where we're talking about advancing a story other than hers.
Well, you know, that's the That's the benefit that Patty Jenkins has as the director of this one, because this movie does not have to have, as a matter of fact, it's almost impossible to have ties to all the other films because of the time difference. So she can actually explore an actual origin story without having to worry about having this nod to this character, this nod to that character. She can just tell a pure Wonder Woman story.
True.
Because it's 100 years away from everything else.
Aquaman.
Aquaman's probably not going to be in the movie, sir.
Aquaman existed, though.
Is he that old?
He's timeless.
No, I don't think so.
He's timeless.
I don't think so.
What is this, a Time Life music?
Yeah.
Retrospective?
James Wan has actually posted pictures of shooting location scouting that they're doing for Aquaman. Mm-hmm. And if he picks even half the places he's taking photos of, it's going to be a gorgeous movie.
I cannot wait. There's one film I'm really excited for. It is Aquaman. I will give Alika that.
That's the single one. This one, Wonder Woman's going to be good. I'm not.
I really
it.
Feel
it's
like
change things
yeah.
for DC.
I mean, it's
but
not going to be Logan bad, but it's going to be okay.
He's such a jerk.
You are a jerk.
I have a.
I never thought a million years we get to say there's an Aquaman movie coming. I never thought a million years we get to see one.
I have to tell you something.
I never pictured being Jason Momoa either, but
yeah, it's not going to be a blonde hair, blue eye guy.
I have a special place in
that's
mind.
Okay.
That's perfectly
that's
fine.
Okay.
This is the one instance where you go way off the comic and do something new.
That's okay.
Great.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
I have a special place in my heart for Aquaman because of my pops, my dad. We
Your
would
pops is Aquaman.
No, my pops would no my because you know
wow.
when I was a young kid,
talk to fish.
You know when I was right. when I was 7 or 8 years
he
old.
He used to talk to fish all the time.
You go to the
yeah.
Pokemon.
You guys got to run. No, he we,
it's
yeah.
too late, Dad.
You see, this was my friend, and now we're gonna eat him. No. What he would do is that we would play. I was 5 or 6 years old or whatever, and we would play Aquaman and Aqualad, and it was always really cool. And then he would show me the cartoons.
Were you Aqualad?
Like I was always Aqualad, so it was always super cool. So I always
you just hold you underwater and see how long you. All right, Aqualad, are you ready for your next mission?
He would take the floaties off and then just throw you in the deep end and be yeah. like, swim.
Yeah, swim. So I have to say that I have a supreme affection for Aquaman. I always think he gets, pardon the pun, but I always think he gets the shaft.
That's actually another movie that they can get away with not having to worry about tying up to too much because of
Shaft.
Yeah.
Shut
you
put
Shaft.
Well, Aquaman
put Shaft in the movie.
About Shaft. Aquaman in the past has been a punching bag, but as soon as Momoa is Aquaman, nobody's punching that bag, man.
Well, I don't see.
What if they do though?
Hey, Swan.
What if they follow through?
I don't know if they can hear
like,
Kai snoring.
Hey, Momoa. Go talk to fish.
Well, Ben Affleck already did that in the commercial. He's yeah. like, I heard you can talk to fish, and he smiled, and then you're like, if you could see Momoa's face, it was probably like, I'm gonna pound you out, Howie.
Surprisingly enough, not to bring this DC comic universe talk
I like those shoes.
As a downer, but I referenced it in the earlier show, but Ben Affleck, I guess he just got out of a stint of rehab.
Ben Affleck is one of the most predictable stars in Hollywood. You give him a big role, he says he can live up to it, he crumbles under the pressure, he goes to rehab.
Wow.
He comes back, he
okay.
does a
wow. All right, to be fair, he suffered with those problems long before
yes,
they had
I
him.
Agree.
That's why I'm saying it's predictable.
Wow.
Why did you give him that giant role if you knew he couldn't handle it?
I don't think
it's the role that sent him crashing.
I think he admirably.
All the public scrutiny for a role that everybody cares about. And
but
he
I don't think
doesn't.
That's what was like, oh my God, I can't stand what they're saying about me as Batman.
Glug, glug, glug.
He had
glug.
To survive.
I'm sure it adds to
he
it.
Had to survive through Bennifer, so I'm pretty sure he's okay.
Yeah, and he did a huge rehab stint during that period, too.
Yeah, I don't remember going to rehab back
then. The pressure
again.
Cracks that man. He cannot handle it.
I don't know. Could you handle it?
No, I'm not. I can't. That's
I
would
Most
never seek
good.
That out, but he
Hell
seeks
yeah.
it out.
And I would hang around. I would hang around a lot with Matt
right,
Damon.
All right, let's all feel so Matt sorry. Damon. Let's feel sorry for Ben Affleck. Oh, I've slept with Jennifer Lopez. Oh, I was married to Jennifer Garner. You know,
I feel sorry for him about that.
Yeah,
one. I wouldn't want to date or marry a woman that had a man face.
First of all, Jennifer Garner is a beauty, sir.
No, she's got a man's face. Look at her face, dude.
She's a beauty, and I think
I'm sure that, she's a sweet
how,
woman.
How is
but
that
she's got a man's face?
How does horse. That how does that turn what? You off? I thought you'd love that.
I prefer the people with man faces be men.
He'll like a lady boy.
That is horrible.
You're right.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I guess they start production on Batman next year.
I mean,
so
if,
who's
they,
that?
If they would have
him
put,
Fleck,
if, he's, they, he's going through with
he
it.
Didn't walk away from it.
No.
If they would have put underwear on the outside of that costume, he wouldn't have had to go to rehab.
I will say this.
Or at least an obnoxious cod piece.
Yeah. Ben.
Like, at the, when he first took on the role and he was doing the press junket before he even appeared as Batman, I'm like, this guy is going to crack. Like, I'm watching, I'm like, this is a huge role. And he's like, like, you know that dog in the house that's on fire and he's like, everything's fine. That's his face when he's talking about being Batman.
Do you really think he cracked from the reception, though? Because
no, not from the reception. It's just the pressure of playing that big a role. Because all the people are... People are up in arms every time they hear about writing, you know, what's good. The movie's not even in production yet.
But when the movie was out, like, all of the positive stuff, like 75% of anything positive about that movie was about him.
And yet somehow he wanted to quit being Batman for a period.
He never said that.
Enough so that it became a news story. Nope. It's not a speculation. It's probably something he said at one point.
He never said it.
And even if he said it
once,
it's
enough. There's no quoted source of him saying that. That was speculation that just went crazy because people wanted to believe it.
I will say this, that Ben admirably performed as Batman.
They can see the Breath of the Wild on the Facebook Live. DJ was commenting.
Nice.
Can they see your horse's name?
They can. Ben Affleck did an admirable job as Batman. I can't wait to see him again as Batman.
I'm still slightly disappointed by him not directing, but...
It's okay. I'll take Matt Reeves.
I swear to God, I called it, though, that he wasn't going to be able to do both.
Yeah, I'll take Matt Reeves any day of the week for that. That's fine with me. Ben...
I would never have thought of him to direct Batman, but he's a good director for that.
Yeah.
They were starting to say stuff like Ridley Scott, I'm like, please, Ridley Scott's not going to make Batman.
That'd be crazy, though, right?
It'd be awesome to hear, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Spielberg.
Ridley Scott's at a level where I don't think he could handle working under a studio that would... tell him what to do.
I can hear Zelda in my headset.
Really? All I can hear is Kai snoring.
I can hear Zelda in my headset. But anyway.
He's sleeping.
You know what?
Because our conversation is so riveting. I wish I was sleeping.
We
right
need to
now.
Get back to arguing about yellow spandex.
You said Spielberg, and you brought up something interesting, because Spielberg said that he would never do a superhero movie because he feels that superhero movies are going to be like Westerns.
That's what I... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why he made so many Westerns.
Says the man that made Hook.
Yeah, right? He said that it's going to go by the wayside soon. It's kind of... The comic book movie is a bubble thing.
Book movie, I don't think will ever go away. The Westerns haven't gone away. But I think that... The obsession with superhero films are going to go
It's not going
to
be as hype as it is now. Like, well, we had this argument,
we've
discussion
talked
already
about
with Professor
before.
Barry. Because Professor Barry was playing that angle of Spielberg saying, it will fade away, it'll go away eventually. But just like Westerns haven't completely gone away, it had its peak, and that was a time when everybody enjoyed it and everything had to be a Western.
Right.
Now it's just a genre that's... I mean, even there were superhero movies before the peak right now, but this is the golden age of superhero movies.
On the
right
opposite
now.
End of that argument, though, I don't think Spielberg's truly connected to the pop culture zeitgeist anymore.
True.
Because I've seen Crystal Skull. I don't think he knows...
I was going to say, why don't we reserve judgment for the fifth indie?
That's a fair point.
Would you want to be judged on the Crystal Skull?
That's a fair point, because for all we know, it's more of George Lucas's influence than anything else. But Steven Spielberg still made a movie where Shia LaBeouf swinging around jungle vines with little capuchin monkeys, for God's sake.
He
did not put his foot down on that.
He knew we wanted that.
I am an ardent defender of Crystal Skull.
I think when it comes to his auteur films...
The monkeys were in costume.
Like the auteur-ish films that he makes, you know, like the historical, biographical type of stories.
Like Bridge of Spies and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, like those kinds of movies. That I think that's the movies he wants to make, but he knows he still has to make crowd-pleaser films.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's still connected to like what the audience really wants anymore, because that audience has changed.
To be fair,
I think.
But
we'll find out when Ready Player One comes out.
We'll see. That's true. But to be fair, though, he is the producer on all the Transformers movies. So
a movie he gets to wash his hands of because it's Michael Bay.
Yeah, but he reaps all the benefits, though.
Well, Steven Spielberg just knew that that was going to be a property that would work for kids. He just didn't want to be the one to make it because he probably doesn't know how to make a movie like that for people.
That's a good point.
That's fair.
That's a good point, yeah.
He knows that Michael Bay will deliver all the special effects and explosions.
All of the close-up explosions.
All the stuff that he knows that fans want to see, but he probably can't make a film like that. He can't bring himself to make a film like that.
Well, he did do a big flop at the box office this past year, which was the BFG. So,
which furthers my point.
Yeah.
It furthers my point.
Yeah,
because on the surface, that movie should have worked.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
He had the writer of E.T. doing it with him.
Yeah.
There's a big hype about that. Movie. But the second I saw the trailer, I'm like, this isn't going to connect with anybody. I just knew it. It looked like a decent movie. And then, for all I know, it's a good one. I didn't see it yet. But
no, neither have I.
I took one look at that. One look at that trailer, and I was just like, this is not going to connect with people. And I called it.
Yeah. Good point. Interestingly enough, other than that, I think that's pretty much it. Other than the fact that there is rumor going around. I can't believe you're still here, Gannon. There is rumor going around that Warner Brothers is set to reboot the Matrix franchise.
Yeah!
Woo! Yes. So
I hope to God they call it Matrix Rebooted.
That's what it's going to be called.
Because it's what? Matrix?
Matrix
Reloaded. And then Matrix Revolutions. And then this one could be rebooted.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, man.
That's going to be awesome.
You see, the thing is, if Warner Brothers plays their cards right, how everybody's doing the shared universe thing, you could actually do that with Matrix.
It's possible. I agree with you.
It's a shame that the Wachowskis aren't involved with it anymore, and I guarantee you they're never going to be able to get them on board with it.
I think that was their trilogy. They were done after the three.
It'd be nice to see them come back to it, but I don't think they'd want to.
No.
But you could, you know what? You could explore some cool stuff with Matrix again.
Would you bring
special effects has also changed a lot since the last one?
Right. Now would you have to bring back Keanu, or would you go with somebody else?
What I would say is the best way to handle that movie is you start off, just do the same thing you did with Jurassic World. You basically come back into that world with new characters and tell a new story. Everything else that happened still happened.
Right.
Maybe have some of the other cast, surviving cast in the other movies, come in very minor roles.
Speaking of Jurassic World, that started shooting.
Yeah, do it the same thing they did with The Force Awakens. I think that's the best way to handle it. That way everything still counts and you're not just saying it's not a sequel, but you're coming back into that world. You can get away with it in The Matrix.
Matrix rebooted happens, then that means that Keanu was not the chosen one. He was not the one.
There is no the one.
Yeah,
it's all manufactured nonsense. That was the whole point of those movies.
But that's the point. What
did you not watch Matrix?
What if?
Did you not listen to Colonel Sanders tell his speech?
That's true. But
the one is something they just made up.
What if there really is the one, and they were trying to deceive him?
Well, it might be Michael B. Jordan, who they say is the guy they want in these movies.
Is that to make up for the fact they didn't get Will Smith in the first place back in 1999?
You know, I remember
he's already proved himself.
I remember hearing that, and like to this day, I'm still like, okay, even Keanu Reeves.
They should get like all the ones from the different movies, like Jet Li and. And have them fight it out.
That's good.
Awesome.
That'd be good. I don't know. I can see the Matrix happening.
I can't picture Will Smith playing Neo.
No.
But you know, to be honest, even Keanu Reeves is a little awkward as Neo.
Yeah.
He's just the only guy we know as Neo.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. He shouldn't be Neo, but he could be like other guy.
Nigel.
Oh, there you go. I don't know.
You'll
have to put on that fake British accent of his.
Kung Fu. So that would mean that
I'm interested in it. I don't think they're anywhere near making that movie, though. They're just talking about developing it.
Yeah, well, they're in talks. They're not.
Yeah, all we know, they're gonna just back off. Be like, you know what? We can't get it together.
Yeah, it's possible. But it was very interesting that would even be brought up in conversation. Other than that, what else we got here? Oh yes, what was it that I just saw? I don't have my phone with me because you guys
your
are
phone's
watching.
Over here.
Yes, I know. I can't remember what it was.
Ah.
But in two weeks we're going to see Ghost in the Shell, right?
Are we?
Yeah, 2 weeks, the 24th.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm going.
I would like to see it. But here's the interesting thing. I was watching a trailer that I thought was for Ghost in the Shell. Turns out it was a trailer for the Alien Covenant movie. And apparently they are taking pre-orders on...
How did you confuse the two?
Because when you watch this trailer, you'll get what I'm saying. It's Michael Fassbender's character, Walter, from Alien Covenant, at Prometheus, and he's on this bed, and there's these two ladies in this garb, and you see them on the table, and it looks like they're going to be scanning Scarlett Johansson's body. Ended up being him, and it was them putting in pre-orders for Walter as a cybernetic unit, which is really strange.
I actually read a really good spoiler for Alien Covenant.
Uh-oh.
We just talked about this. We're constantly ruining movies for ourselves.
What's the spoiler?
I don't want to. If it turns out to be real, I don't want to spoil it now.
Okay, well, listen. Here we're at the Nerd Watch.
It's a good one.
No one watches us.
DJ watches us.
There's like a bunch of people online right now that would make the difference.
What's the spoiler? I want to know.
One, two,
for
three,
Alien
four,
Covenant.
Five,
I'd like to
six,
know.
Six, seven. Well, there was about seven people. Now there's still only two.
What is the? What's the spoiler, Gannon? Come on.
Oh, you really want
it
me?
It takes place on a planet.
Again, if it turns out to be true, apparently footage has been shown where the reveal is that the xenomorph as we know it is not an evolution that the engineer started, but that David ended up on another planet and he experimented on his own.
David, not Walter, David.
David's from Prometheus.
Prometheus, yeah.
He's the android.
But Fassbender's playing a new one.
Walter.
So he's playing two different
ones. Okay, got it.
But yeah, the rumor is that he ends up on that planet and he spends all this time basically trying to develop his own
xenomorph?
His own life form.
Wow.
And basically, that's what he...
That's interesting.
That's what his epiphany is, that from dealing with the engineers, he feels like even he could do better.
Wow. That's great.
So he...
Interesting.
...comes up with the perfect killing machine.
I could do better.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's essentially the idea that that David essentially comes to the conclusion that he could do better.
Interesting. So Alien Covenant is one we're looking forward to. Speaking of Ridley Scott...
He's not making Batman.
No, he's not. But he is making Blade Runner 2049.
He's producing it.
He's producing it. Guess who rejoined the cast?
Edward James Olmos.
Edward James Olmos has rejoined the cast.
Which is weird, because I thought they were shooting that.
He didn't almost join. He did.
No, that's why I said he almost joined.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, didn't they finish shooting that movie?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Or are they reshooting and just throwing
They almost finished shooting this movie.
Are they Darth Vader in Rogue One?
Count on him funny. To stand and deliver.
Yes, you can.
Oh, what's that from?
Dangerous Minds.
Jaime Escalante.
What's like ironic about Stand and Deliver? He's almost as good as he was in American Me.
Almost.
Which is a great movie, by the way.
I don't even remember American Me.
What?
I didn't see it.
What? American Me, the one where he's the gang leader?
The guy.
That's the one where he leads the, what's it called, right? The Battlestar Galactica?
That's the one.
You know what my favorite line ever from that guy in any movie is?
Which one?
And this is not from anything he's actually famous for. It's from the movie Selena.
Okay.
Where he goes to the hotel room where the rock star guitarist is staying and it's all torn up. He's like, "We're not some disgusting punk rock group." Which is so lame when I say it now, but like every time I watch it, I just love the way he does it. Like, "We're not some disgusting punk rock group."
And then you think to yourself, "And I'm watching Selena, so I am neither a punk rock group guy."
I lived with women, sir. I couldn't escape it.
I watched
Dirty Dancing more than I care to admit.
I tell you what, I don't think that movie holds up as well as I would think, because I watched
Selena. Are we going to talk about Selena?
Are you serious?
I'm just saying. What that doesn't hold up as well.
Don't talk about my Selenas.
Next thing you're going to say that Dragon the Bruce Lee story doesn't hold up.
Oh, please!
Oh, what?
That totally holds up. Dragon the Bruce Lee story.
He's totally aging.
He is. He's
spoilers.
Totally. Oh,
my bad.
The biggest spoiler of them all.
You know who isn't Asian? Almost.
That's right. Almost isn't.
Almost isn't almost.
He's
Asian.
Almost Asian.
That's right, he's almost Asian.
That's the name of this. That's the name of this pod. Almost Asian.
Almost Asian.
Edward James Almost Asian.
Almost. That's, I think, this is what it's going to be called. Almost Asian. It's pretty awesome.
No, it's not.
It's pretty awesome. I like it. I think it's good. Other than that, I think...
And then put the Ghost in the Shell still for this pod. The picture of Scarlett Johansson, they'll just say almost Asian.
Oh, that's right, because they're doing that meme thing or whatever with the Ghost in the Shell, and people are going nuts with that. What? So no, there's a controversy with there's a
Scarlett Johansson's not Japanese, so she just shouldn't be right. a Japanese
Ghost in the Shell
manga
is,
film.
And that's not what the I mean.
Well,
I think we all understand she's a cyborg, so she doesn't have race.
Well, let me explain. Let me explain what's happening.
But
here.
Doesn't she start off as a
she
human?
Starts off
being
as
first?
A human. So if that's her human face, then
but
yeah.
that's the thing I'm confused about. Like, did she start off as an Asian character?
Well, here's the thing.
Because I've heard that she's not.
No, but here's what's happening.
I never read the books. So I don't know.
Is that the production?
Is her name Lieutenant Onoda?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Her,
I don't know.
Yeah, her first name
her
is
last
Major.
Name is Onoda.
Right, but that's because she is. In
is it really
Japan.
Onoda? Because if her last name's Onoda, there's a very famous story about a World War II vet.
Look that up, Ghost and Shell.
During World War II, and he hit out in the Philippines.
Talk to me here looking up incense.
And he was only recently found. He was only recently found in like the early 90s right, in the right. Philippines, and he thought World War II was still like he was living in the woods eating snakes and stuff, and you know, still
they're
faithful.
Delicious.
But yeah, they found are. Him in like the Filipino village that he was living near.
I
was
thought
like,
her name was. Kusanagi.
Yeah, okay, it's never Kusanagi. Mind. Well, not Onoda.
That's it. It's Kusanagi. But the thing is that the Ghost in the Shell production, Warner Brothers, decided that they wanted to put this meme up. At the bottom of the meme, it says, I am Major, and it's got pictures of the production on it. Okay? And then you can add in your meme. You can add in your words to the meme or whatever it is. And so they've been making fun of it, you know, like almost Asian, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it is Kus.
So that's mm-hmm. the whole thing with this meme controversy is that people are starting to make fun of the film. But to me, she was never Asian in the anime. At least I never thought of her as Asian in the anime. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, I don't think she was Asian in the anime because she was actually...
It's made after a European woman. It's a weird point of view, or point of interest, rather, because it's anime, everyone defaults that the characters must be Asian.
Right.
So,
which, in turn, makes them racist.
Right. Amen.
Because they're making the assumption
right.
that they're Asian characters
like
just
like the same thing with like Attack on Titan. A lot of people defaulted that those are Asian characters, but they're all actually European.
Right.
There's only one
Asian
character.
You kind of tell
them
that show
group.
By the architecture, though, a little bit.
They're,
well, yeah,
they're
all,
like they're looking at the
building. They're all European, but they're playing Japanese characters.
Oh, I see. Well,
no,
why would
oh,
they steal
not?
Their
oh.
jobs? They took their job.
They all look like ninjas.
Speaking of that Asian controversy, moving on.
The controversy was that they were using software to turn extras Asian. It wasn't
right,
her.
Right.
She is. Probably the least of the controversy.
She's done.
I think we forgive that. The thing is, they were developing software to CG all the extras who
right.
weren't Asian into being Asian.
They were putting pandas and chopsticks in everyone's
on, like,
hands.
Three different levels.
I think that we have forgiven that. I don't think the public has forgiven that just yet. We'll see when the movie comes out.
Are we sure that any of that was true? Because, I mean, if the studio meant to have Asian characters or extras in the backgrounds, why wouldn't they just hire them?
Well, that's what's infuriating.
Isn't that cheaper than CGing their eyes?
Right.
Infuriating.
I don't know.
Is that a Japanese word?
That's why I try not to get too bent out of shape about all this speculative stuff, because where is it actually coming from? Is it coming from somebody making bold assumptions and is just getting too crazy with
it? Well, here's the thing. Is that...
Or is it coming from a real place of real information?
I don't know where all of this animosity has come from for the film. Let's just see where it goes first.
It looks cool.
I think it does, too. I think it looks great. Speaking of that...
Not to bring it up again, but it gives me a very Matrix vibe.
It does. Agreed. Speaking of in the same realm of
to be
the
fair,
Matrix...
The Matrix borrowed from all that stuff
from,
in the first
borrowed
place.
From Ghost right. in the Shell pretty heavily.
Well, yeah. The fact of the matter is that speaking of the Asian controversy, the first reviews for Iron Fist have come out, and they are not good. Matter of fact, they're bad.
Good. It's so weird that the actor's barking back, though. So
yeah, really, right?
He's fighting him.
Trump's fault.
Right, yeah, there was some weird
he's
thing
He's fighting
about,
him. I'm just
Trump's
like, wow,
fault,
dude.
It's Trump's fault. And then, you know, of course, that's clickbait, so you read further.
So, right, of course.
And then you realize that he's saying nobody after, and it's still equally funny after you click it. It's nobody wants to see a white billionaire win now that Trump's president. It's like, did they really want that before Trump was president? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, and the thing is, I reserve all judgment. I have no judgments on Iron Fist right now. And I wasn't even...
they got the costume
but
wrong.
I don't even think... I mean, the reviews that I'm reading...
He's using that the real costume's coming.
The reviews
Iron
that I'm reading...
He's not getting it.
Not in this season.
Not in the season.
In Defenders, they...
But they said the same thing about Daredevil. Daredevil ended up getting a suit in the season.
But it doesn't... It doesn't
I think I was more tripping out that there were so many bad reviews, and it's not even out yet.
Yeah, right. That's and the criticism, the one at least I was reading, wasn't the fact that he was a white billionaire. It just... They said the story was
yeah,
really...
Yeah, they said the writing and whatever.
Of course it was.
Right.
Of course it,
oh, stop.
They like, said it has...
You don't listen to
problems.
That side of the aisle.
They have pacing problems in the beginning half of the season.
Right. So,
which I can almost see that because when by the time Luke Cage was out, like they had three Grand Slams in a row with, you know, Daredevil season 1 and 2 and Jessica Jones. And then you've got Luke Cage where it's great, but there's a lot of story problems and like the direction a lot of the arcs go and the decisions they make and the characters they get rid of and stuff. So you're like...
Still better than Civil War.
Well, to be fair to the Iron Fist production,
you can
they
see
only,
where it might happen with
they,
Iron
the,
Fist.
The critics only received, I believe, the first 6 episodes, so they never saw the back.
You
half.
Can't get your show on track in the first 6 episodes, though. And again, yeah, that's just going off
the ground by half then, of the dude.
Yeah, if it doesn't land in first 6 episodes, it's gonna bust.
Like first 3, I'll grant first 3, but by the 4th episode, I should be hooked.
Well, we
which
shall-
ironically. And I bring it up all the time. That's where I got hooked on Lost. You can't get him in the first 5 to 6. It's a waste.
That Lost got me in the first episode. Sheesh. Anyway, I was a sucker for that show.
See? That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens. But we will find out about Iron Fist come Friday because it comes out on the 17th. So
yeah, buddy.
Yeah, so we'll see if Iron Fist is a thing. You can check it out on Netflix on Friday.
I do kind of
what's a Netflix, Greg?
I kind of get the vibe that Iron Fist is like the Thor of the Defenders universe. Like, it's the one they had to get out of the way so they can have him on the team. That nobody's really excited about it, but they're just like, let's get that show done so we can have him on the team.
Everybody's like, those are the weakest movies. I like the Thor movies.
Because they got the costume
I like the second Thor movie better than the first Thor.
That's weird.
Yeah, and I did like the second movie as well. And people all hated that one. I love the
second one. I love the first
one. But I don't know. I just felt this weird vibe that... That was the one they did just so they could have in Avengers.
Mm-hmm. They had Doctor Who in the second
well,
one.
Well, speaking of Thor, have you guys seen the production pictures with Thor? His new hairdo, his new look.
Yeah, his war paint.
His war paint.
He doesn't have Mjolnir.
Yeah, no
looking
Mjolnir.
Looking sexy.
Mew Mew.
By the way, Tessa Thompson.
Mew
Mew. Tessa Thompson
Natalie Portman.
Fantastic.
She's out.
No, Natalie Portman.
That's weird.
They
you
wrote
know,
her
I don't
out
think that's
story.
Weird. I think they just wrote her out of the story that she's not going to be the love interest. I don't think that's a big deal, dude.
Well, that's got a lot
but
more
doesn't
to do.
She become...
That's because Natalie Portman doesn't want to do those movies anymore. I don't think it's a story point at all. It's a story point out of necessity.
Good. Yeah, she's too busy growing up and becoming Jackie O.
Jackie O. It's true. It's a good point. I think Thor looks like a...
I'm a little worried about Hulk being shoehorned into the Thor movie.
I don't think he's going
to
be
Some
shoehorned.
People are excited about it because they're like, okay, cool, we get to see Hulk and Thor fighting again, but I'm just like...
Remember, though...
Plus, Doctor Strange is in the movie, too.
We have to be fair to Hulk, and I'll do deference to Hulk. The Dr. fact Stranger. Is that Marvel... Disney cannot make a full-fledged Hulk movie.
This time.
So we have to be fair and say that we should be excited that we see Hulk at all.
Here, surgeon.
So I like that. So anyway.
That's the only way they can explore more Hulk stories. It's not the Avengers.
Yeah.
Which is a fair point. But I don't know. You kind of feel like, is Thor going to start getting marginalized in his movies now? Because they don't make the same mark the other ones do?
It's possible.
Nobody feels as strong about any Thor movie as they have Civil War or even Winter Soldier before that. So
I don't know.
Why don't we need to get a Hulk movie?
We've had two and they didn't work.
That's what I just said, is that they don't... Marvel, Disney does not have the rights to do
that's
it.
That's the thing, though. I actually like those movies.
Universal still
I like the second one.
Well, Universal's really just got the distribution rights.
I have strong. To tell you that I am...
I like the idea behind
that
the first
first
one.
Hulk movie was the first Marvel Studios.
I
the
first
one had
movies.
The second one.
Yeah, the first one had really good scenes.
I love the first Hulk movie. The one by...
Yeah,
Emily.
You're all over there.
The one where he fights the Hulk poodles. So good.
I loved everything about that movie except the ending where his dad turns into electricity. That was dumb. But other than that, I loved it.
But, you know, well, I like Mulchie's diatribe just before that,
yeah,
though.
That was
a really good performance.
Yes, it was.
I'll say that.
Yep.
But I was
yeah,
a fan
Nick
of the
Nolte,
two,
that guy then... can't act.
Yeah. I love when Whistler started turning into metal.
We need to get...
What? What are we talking about?
But I mean, like, he turned into Dormammu, and then he turned into... I mean, they just giant pink Galactus cloud.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's...
But... To be, f- I don't know. I think
a terrible. I think that it's a terrible. You know, your movie's in trouble when, like, they don't know what to do with the bad guy's got to be so uncontrollably powerful that they turn him into like a cloud.
Well, and that's
or your bad guy shooting a blue ray into the sky for some reason.
No, that's a fair point.
That's
but
every movie.
That very first Hulk movie.
I'm
was
surprised Bane at the end of Dark Knight Rises wasn't shooting a big blue beam in the sky. And Batman had to stop it.
I know, right?
You must close my portal.
What is it doing? He's like, I don't know.
But you got to remember, in that very first Hulk movie by Ang Lee, it was cool to see the Hulk getting bigger. The angrier he got, it was cool seeing him.
I did
leap.
Like when he got shot. You'd see the bullets bouncing off of his skin.
That
I
was
did like
sick.
That. And they haven't explored that since.
No. No, not at all.
Because that is kind of logical, you know? He's not Superman where it would bounce off like he was hitting metal.
I was emotionally invested with Eric Bana. I liked him. And I thought Jennifer Connelly was great in the film, too. I do think that it does have its faults.
I think the second movie had a stronger cast.
I will say that the second movie was a more exciting and fun film. No doubt about it. I completely agree with you. But I think that
Edward Norton
that
did his thing
original Hulk
up.
Movie is as close to a comic book style film you will ever get. It's completely artsy and exciting.
More so than
good.
Dick Tracy?
Dick Tracy
more so, than The Rocketeer.
I've been reminded of a lot of really good comic book movies that came out in the 80s and 90s that I forgot are comic book movies. Like, I forget most of them, but it's like
Blade.
They've been good ones.
More than The Phantom.
Blade. Wait, they
the
got
Phantom
the costume,
was Billy
right?
Zane? That was good.
More than The Shadow.
I love
The Shadow.
The Shadow
was incredible. I remember
Shadow
seeing that in the theater.
Great. Shadow was so good.
Those are examples of really good comic book movies.
By the way, that was the last. That was the last. That was the first and last time Alec Baldwin played a superhero or a hero.
Now he plays a villain on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, see.
Why don't they just put him on the cast? Because he's pretty much there all the time.
Yeah. But didn't he just didn't he just say that he's going to stop playing Trump?
No, he didn't. Oh, that was just Fox News.
No, he did. He did an interview where he said he doesn't want to do it anymore because he feels like
it's fake news.
Sounds like
it's fake news.
Those are alternative facts.
Those are alternative facts.
Probably just Breitbart just spouting nonsense again.
You sure it wasn't Mother Jones or Huffington Post? I'm pretty sure it was one of those two. Anyway, listen.
He should play the Submariner.
Well, I wonder if we'll ever get a Submariner movie.
I don't know. You see, that's what I like about Wonder Woman and Aquaman coming out through DC, because they got to those kind of characters before Marvel did.
Yeah.
Marvel hasn't done a female-fronted movie yet. They're going to be the second one out the gate with that.
Captain Marvel.
And they're also going to be the first ones out, and DC's going to be the first ones out the gate with an underwater character.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So Marvel's probably like, all right, let's see what they do in case they screw up.
We'll do the complete opposite. Right. We'll fix it. Definitely get Namor right.
What they screw up, we'll fix.
Yeah.
Do they have the rights to Namor?
I believe they do.
I thought he was part of the Fantastic Four.
You're right. Yeah, it is. It's part of the Fantastic Four, but it's
It might be like some weird loophole.
I believe it's the way Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are. His name where they overlap.
They can use them both ways.
Yeah, they overlap.
They can. I mean, the Submariner's got to have just the green Speedo, right?
And also
right, pointy ears and wings on his heels.
Right, the wings on his heels and the attitude.
And
definitely
his underwear has to be scaly.
Definitely has to have.
Here's
the
who I want as
and
Namor.
He needs to make out with Sue Storm.
Idris Elba as
that wasn't really
Namor.
Sue Storm.
That's what I want.
Idris Elba as Namor.
Yep.
But he's too street.
He's too urban. He's not actually. He's British as hell.
Hang on a second. He's too big. Wouldn't you want to get a swimmer?
What are you talking about?
No, Idris Elba.
Jason Momoa look like a swimmer?
No, he was
on Baywatch.
He's trying to say he wants Michael Phelps as Namor.
Yeah.
So his ears can be big and pointy.
Yeah. You don't have to do much makeup with Michael Phelps if you pull.
Oh, you know what?
You get
Zachary Quinto. He's already good with the big ears.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one too.
And he looked really good in a Speedo.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen. Before we get out of here, guys, if you can believe it,
I just brought Zachary Quinto in a Speedo. Now we want to stop.
It's
just now getting good.
It was Tuesday, obviously. Today's Tuesday.
What?
Do we have any major Blu-rays come out today?
No.
I know Swan said something about Blu-rays, but I don't remember what he said.
I do know that Allied has hit digital download. I know that...
Oh, there's Swan.
What else was there?
What Blu-rays were you talking about?
What Blu-rays were you talking about? Passengers hit a digital HD.
No, it's out on the shelves.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
I finally got a chance to watch Passengers.
It and sucks.
Were you blown away?
I tell you what, it's not as bad as everybody thinks it is, but it definitely that movie feels more at home on television.
It's so pointless.
It does feel a little pointless. Agreed.
You know what I got a hold of that comes out next week?
What's that? What's that?
Scream Factory's RoboCop 2 and 3.
You have it?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Did you get it on a pre-release or something?
If you order it direct from them, you get it 2 weeks before release.
What's that?
The life feed died.
Life feed died. That's right. Well, listen.
That's okay. Nobody's watching.
Let me ask you. Let me put it this way. After you're finished, brah, I like Morrow.
Oh, no. How about you go buy your own?
I'm super excited to see RoboCop 2 and 3. I haven't seen RoboCop 2 in over 10 years. Same with RoboCop 3, to be honest.
I watched some of the extras for RoboCop 3, and it's actually pretty good. You get to hear Fred Decker's piece of what happened, and he takes a lot of the blame for why the movie went bad.
Oh, okay.
He's saying
RoboCop 3 went bad?
Well, it wasn't as well received as 1 and 2, that's for sure.
I thought 3 was one of the more fun ones.
But they interviewed the guy who played Otomo.
Mm-hmm.
They did a feature on the guy that built RoboCop's gun arm, mm-hmm. and like how that came about. So there's some cool stuff there.
Fantastic.
I didn't actually sit down to watch the films in and of themselves, but I know part 2 had a full 2K restoration, so that one should look beautiful.
Super exciting. RoboCop 2 and 3, Shout Factory, doing some good work. Allied is on digital HD as well. Passengers is on digital HD. You can check those out this week. I had an opportunity to see two movies really quick before we go. I got an opportunity to see The Founder with Michael Keaton. Everybody needs to see that movie. It is fantastic. Fantastic movie. If you are even remotely interested in Ray Kroc and the McDonald's story, if this movie is anywhere near as what happened, it is fantastic. It's an amazing piece of history if it is really what happened. And I also got to see a film that I was really looking forward to seeing, and I was actually kind of confused by the end of it, and maybe you guys can help me. I watched Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Okay.
I had a hard time.
I am in.
Okay, good. Okay, so I watched Fantastic Beasts. Like I said, maybe you guys can help me with this if you know the lore of Harry Potter or what have you. Mm-hmm. I know that this book, the book exists in the Harry Potter world as a book they read in school. Mm-hmm. Now, is it a history book or is it just a fictional story?
I thought it was a catalog.
It's a textbook.
It's a textbook, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when he's in the film, and this is one of the bigger problems I had, I didn't have a problem with it, but I just didn't understand it. When he makes reference to Hogwarts and he makes reference to Bellatrix, uh-huh. Lestrange, or the Lestrange name.
Yeah. Lestrange.
Whatever it is. Is that relayed? In the textbook itself, I'm assuming, I'm guessing?
No, because the textbook is a textbook.
Okay, so what we're... So
you don't learn about, like, family history in a math book.
No, but I'm assuming that we're delving deep into what had happened to the what do they call them? The mages and the nomages? The mages?
The nomages, yeah.
Yes, okay. I'm assuming we're learning the history.
Wizards and non-wizards.
So is this in the time period right before, is this happening before Hogwarts? And how long before Hogwarts?
Oh, this is like way before any of the Harry Potter stuff.
Okay. So I was confused because there seemed to be a lot of story going on. There seemed like five different stories happening at once. We were dealing with the guy with the case. What's his name? Scamander? Scarmander?
Mm-hmm. Scamander.
Yeah, Newt. Yeah. We were dealing with the cop and her relationship.
Charmander.
I don't think that's correct. Oh.
We're dealing with the cop and her relationship to the nomad police or whatever, the mm-hmm. bureau of whatever. We're dealing with the relationship between the Madge and the nomad love relationship. We're dealing with this overarching story of the mages actually trying to cover up or trying to keep the world in in a slumber as to their
existence.
Thank you. And it felt like it almost felt very Men in Black-esque. as it were. I was, it wasn't that I didn't like the movie. I was just, maybe because I'm not familiar with the lore enough, but I was, by the end of the film, I was kind of like, eh, and I felt like there was just so much going on that I didn't get a hold of one character, and it felt like Scarmander, Scamander.
Right.
I never related. In the middle of that. I think I'm thinking Scaramanga from Man with the Golden Gun. But
so if you take Charmander and then that guy.
Yeah. I just didn't feel like I could relate to Scamander at all. I wanted to, but it just felt like there was so much stuff going on that I didn't have an opportunity to really relate to him preserving the animals and or the fantastical beasts.
There are going to be another 8 movies to clear this up, so it's
possibly,
fine.
I guess. But, I mean, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. Colin Farrell, that's another guy. Colin Farrell, I really wanted to get into his character, but nothing really happened until...
His haircut in that movie is on fleek, let me tell you, though. I didn't watch that movie, but I saw like, the trailer
for
it.
The movie's pretty good.
Nothing happens until the end of the film with Colin Farrell, and the big Colin Farrell reveal is the fact that he is Grindelwald, which is a.k.a. Johnny
Spoilers!
Depp. Yeah. So,
Whoa!
Like how he just spoils him, like, eh.
So whoa, Johnny Depp is in that movie?
Yeah, he is.
Oh. So, who's he play?
Grindelwald, right? Is that the name? Yeah.
Grindelwald.
So, Grindelwald.
A 5-minute sequence of Emma Watson nude? Really? I didn't know.
Whoa!
How did you get that out of Johnny Depp?
She's a feminist.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's a feminist.
That's why it's okay that she can be naked.
I guess so.
That's why it's okay that I look at her naked.
According to feminists, it's okay to be uncensored.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm okay with that too.
I know you are.
Yeah.
You're a beautiful feminist. Right.
I am.
Right. I respect the hell out of you.
Can we get back to the Fantastic Beasts that isn't?
No one cares about that movie. Nobody even saw it.
I think a lot of people saw Fantastic Beasts.
It made like $1 billion.
Yeah. I think a lot of people saw
Nobody remembers seeing it.
Oh, right.
You know how you go to a movie and then by the time you walk out of the theater, you can't even remember what the hell happened because you just didn't care?
I'm actually one of those guys that felt like I had a good time, but I felt like I wasn't invested.
I'm having a good time, but
yeah, that's what I kind of felt like.
Probably because you were so wrapped up with all the other.
I was wrapped because it was supposed to focus on Newt. And it felt like, and this is so funny, is that even though it is related to Harry Potter, this felt more like an adult Harry Potter-esque film as opposed to anything connected to Harry, which is really interesting.
It's connected to Harry.
Yeah.
Nice.
Stop it.
It's not meant to be connected.
It's adult and it's Harry.
Technically.
Right, right. No, I get you. So,
like, that was the one thing I loved about it, was they didn't freaking reference this,
right,
this godchild.
Right. And his lightning tattoo on his head. Yeah, no, I got you.
See, why couldn't Star Wars do that?
Do what?
A film that's in the world but doesn't need to connect up to stuff we know.
You mean just be something else on another planet?
Darth Vader,
connect
man.
To the same world Darth under Vader. The same rules, but you don't because have to have TIE Fighters. You don't have to have Darth Vader in it.
No, you... Wait, what?
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
That's what I want out of Star Wars
movies. That's like saying no purple underwear on Wolverine.
Oh, no.
I'm so happy that we're winding down to the end of the show, but I'm so happy that that Alika was so able to contribute to the show. So busy playing Zelda Breath of the Wild tonight, I swear. But
I like how he reached for his mic.
I know. And he reaches and like, man, you know, I'm not taking my hand off of the Switch controller.
You guys ain't worth it.
Jeez.
Did you ever read that Hugh Jackman said that he would reconsider quitting as Wolverine if Marvel and Fox could ever get stuff together?
Oh, yeah. I heard that, too.
He would reconsider
coming back.
All right. Yeah. All right. Listen, I don't want to cause another commotion, but the last question before we get out of here, do you think Marvel, if that ever did happen, do you think Marvel would even remotely think about rehiring Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
No, they would get Dougray Scott and do it right the first time.
Let me say something about that. Every time Hugh Jackman goes up to do, like, thanks for winning whatever award, he never thanks Dougray Scott.
It's true.
Because let's be real here. I don't know if Hugh Jackman would have the career he has if Dougray Scott didn't get hurt when he did.
Mm. He was on
mission. He should thank his lucky stars that Dougray Scott got hurt in a movie that nobody saw.
Mission Impossible 2 made like $1 billion.
Yeah, again, but nobody remembers anything about it.
First of
nobody
all...
Nobody remembers anything about it. You can't tell me what happened in that movie.
Mission Impossible 2, Mission Impossible...
Except that Tom Cruise had good hair.
First
That's
of
all anybody remembers from that
Mission
movie.
Mission Impossible 2...
He also had some good ads.
Mission Impossible 2, Mission Pauling.
Mission Impossible 2, Mission Impossible Harder was a good film.
Hell no.
It was a good film.
There's a
film.
Dance sequence with cars in that movie.
First of all, Mission
Impossible... That was stupid.
It's directed by John Woo, and
okay,
I
so
still believe that there is
how
enough...
stupid it is.
I still believe that there isn't... That people have not made a... People don't make a good case for that film. I think it's much better than people
John
believe
Woo can
it.
Do no wrong until Mission Impossible 2.
That's what everybody says, but I like Mission Impossible 2.
Even Hard Target was better.
Oh, ooh, how dare you?
It was.
Dare you?
That was John Woo. Wasn't
okay. Hard Target was a
wasn't
good
that,
movie,
wasn't
though.
That his first American film?
That was his first American film, yeah. Yes. I'm
with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude
I'm
Van Damme
a huge fan.
Playing Cajun.
I'm a huge fan of John Woo's work, like The Killer. My favorite film is Hard Boiled, which is to this day.
That's your favorite film? Your favorite
my
film.
My favorite John Woo film is Hard Boiled. Oh. I love A Better Tomorrow.
Oh, right.
So those are great.
I love eggs.
That's
love
that
eggs.
Movie where it's good. Like global warming, right?
Yes, Hard Boiled. That's correct.
No. You said The Day After Tomorrow, where like
they're, oh no. A better tomorrow.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, sorry.
I was like, he didn't direct that.
But getting back to the point, Hugh Jackman. I can't. I don't think that Marvel would ever hire Hugh Jackman back.
I think they should get.
If they formed a bridge between Fox. And well, not Sony, but if they developed a bridge between Fox and Marvel,
holy crap, you're dead
and they
again.
Wanted to build off of what was already there,
right.
Don't you think when Hugh Jackman is already your fan favorite? Because Hugh Jackman is on the level with the X-Men films that I almost said Tony Stark that that Iron Man has for the Marvel films.
Yeah,
that and you wouldn't want to let that go.
I'm going to say something else too. I'm going to say this. I don't think that Marvel, even if they got the license back for the X-Men franchise, I don't think that they would even remotely put him in the costumes. Not even close. I don't think that would ever.
Then what would Marvel do?
I think Marvel would.
Why
do
would they? Really why would they do costumes Marvel for the characters they have?
I don't
but
think.
Not once they get
I don't
the
think.
The
I don't think Marvel Disney would do
because
that
because Fox is doing so great on that diehard tact of not putting him in the costumes.
All I'm saying
because it's working out so well for them.
Okay, if they're building off of the continuity that exists,
right?
Then they would keep it consistent with that universe,
right?
That's for sure. But
well, why would they?
They wouldn't secure the rights and do that.
They'd be like,
no. But if they did the same thing that Sony and Disney's doing, where they have
because
a,
Sony
a
had a workable product.
Huh?
Sony had a workable product.
No, but why would Fox ever want to lose the X-Men franchise?
Oh, yeah, of course.
But we're not talking about losing. We're just talking about they just form a bridge between the two.
Right, and that's
what
I'm saying.
To work together.
Right.
I don't think they would mix it.
No, they wouldn't. But, again, this is a pipe dream fanboy if it happened type stuff.
Right.
Why would you ever mix clean water with sewage? There's no point.
Jeez.
I don't know.
It doesn't benefit Disney.
I would still want to see that those X-Men versus the Avengers.
Yeah, it's like going to watch a train wreck. Of course you want to see that.
I would not want to see
that. Like, let's see these really well-crafted storylines meet up with the Fox X-Men with zero continuity.
That,
hey, Professor X, didn't you die twice in that
they're
series?
Not well,
yeah, they brought me back
they're
as
not
Fox.
That well-crafted. They're okay.
They're a lot better, especially with the connective tissue, than the Fox X-Men.
I don't know. They got the costumes right, but that doesn't mean they're written
the
well.
The overall story arc, yes. There's a coherent, actual continuity. You can be like, what happened in the last movie? That applies to this movie.
It started
and
with...
And that's 10 movies.
Well, it started with the Hulk, and that went really well.
That it didn't start with the Hulk because that's universal.
The first
Disney Marvel movie was
Incredible.
Iron Man.
Incredible Hulk is part of the.
I know it's part of it, but it's a retcon. It's okay.
No.
We accept this in because
no,
this
it was
the Hulk. No,
the Hulk was one of the first Marvel Studios film.
Yeah,
but it's Universal. Universal
it was
created
just,
that.
No,
Hulk.
It wasn't
part of the Disney arc.
It was just.
It's not how Disney was like.
It is
let's
part
get
of the
this
Disney
up.
Arc.
It was just
no. Disney started with Iron Man.
No, it was
yes, it did.
No,
yes, it did. Hulk came out first.
Hang on a
but
second.
But that was Universal. Universal owned the rights.
I'll look it up.
Okay, look it up. Disney did not distribute Hulk.
Disney
didn't distribute it.
Right,
Universal
so
did.
Disney had no creative control over it. It happened pre-2008, before
no, but it was
Marvel even... No. Disney even owned Marvel.
No, but it happened pre-Disney, but it was still a Marvel Studios
right,
film.
Because
so was Iron
Man.
So
was X-Men. All of those are called Marvel Studios film
no,
because
no.
it's Marvel.
No, but after... So After the X-Men and the Spider-Man movies...
I'm telling you, the continuity rebooted once Disney bought Marvel in 2008, when Iron Man came out. They retroactively added Hulk to the continuity.
But Marvel didn't buy Disney in 2008. Marvel bought Disney in, like, 2012.
Right, because what happened is that Iron Man was under the banner of Paramount.
Robert Downey Jr. is in Incredible Hulk. Tony Stark is referenced in Incredible Hulk.
Yep.
Yeah,
he is.
The guns that they're shooting the Incredible Hulk with is Stark Technologies.
Yep,
and it's the exact same logo and Stark font Industries. That they use in the Iron Man films.
Right. Yeah. So,
it says,
I don't know about the first Hulk, but I know it says the second it is one.
Not the first Hulk.
I don't think the first Hulk, but I know second the second
Hulk,
one.
Yeah, because they're trying to rebuild something.
The second,
I don't know. Those Gamma Dogs are definitely from Stark Industries.
It says the Incredible Hulk, the 2008 film, is the second film in Marvel Cinematic Universe. So the Edward Norton
you
one.
You said it was the first one, and you were getting mad at me over it.
Well, it was if it wasn't.
Well, thank you for proving yourself wrong.
What the? But it,
so I'm not the first Iron Man.
So it wasn't.
Yeah, the first is Iron Man.
But it wasn't. But it. But I'm telling you that it was
but
a Marvel
the first
film.
Was Iron Man, right?
No, I'm telling you
but,
that.
But
was,
I said the first was Iron Man.
He's telling you the first. What he's trying to tell you is that the Hulk was a Marvel film, though.
I don't remember which one came
so
out first.
Is Fox
honestly,
X-Men. They're all belong
no,
to Marvel.
But it's a Marvel Studios film. The right. Incredible Hulk. With Edward Norton, was a Marvel Studios film.
I get it. But and it's owned by Universal at that point. It's not owned by Disney at that point.
But
it's a deal with Universal.
Neither was Iron Man.
Is this a joke?
Neither was Iron Man.
Those are terrible.
No, Iron Man was not part of the Disney
when
thing either.
I think Disney didn't kick in until the first Avengers.
Iron Man was a Paramount film. Iron Man was a Paramount movie.
Yeah, I don't think Disney had a piece of it until Avengers came out.
Correct.
And even then, they didn't throw their name on it.
Because they bought the rights to Marvel.
Yeah, it was a Marvel Studios film and distributed by Paramount Pictures.
Yeah.
I remember that. Phase 1 up until the first Avengers was Paramount.
Right.
Or, well, then Incredible Hulk for Universal.
Right.
And then Disney bought it because they were like, oh, shit.
All of Phase 1 was Paramount?
Yeah.
Mostly.
Well, and Universal was the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean... That's why it's there's the rights.
That's why Iron Man 2 technically is still under the Paramount banner. The only time that it officially becomes a Disney product is Iron Man 3. So
yeah, you know what? I think that's right because I think Avengers was the last one to come out, but Disney had already owned Marvel by then.
Right.
But I don't think they were part of the production or distribution then.
Right.
It
right.
didn't kick in until Iron Man 3.
Right. Because remember, we were at this...
Man, this is a scintillating conversation.
Remember, why
is it always at the end of the pod?
Because nerds don't know how to let shit go.
But remember, look who's want to talk about the X-Men franchise.
I'm in the middle of playing a game. I'm just like catching key phrases that you're like trolling me with. Of course, I'm going to jump in.
So, the Marvel Studio films happened. Marvel Studios was the film company that Marvel Entertainment formed in 2008. Before then, all of the other Marvel films had been developed at other studios
right.
So, like Fox or Sony.
Right. So Marvel was just a banner because of the character. There wasn't a Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
As you notice in the X-Men films, it just says Marvel. It doesn't say Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Because they're giving credit to...
Marvel.
Right.
They're
not an actual production company.
Yeah. Correct.
At that point.
Right at that point. So that makes perfect sense.
You.
So anyway... I think we're good now. I think we have gotten the continuity.
I don't know.
We're going to hug it out after this, right?
What year did Marvel buy, or Disney buy Marvel?
I think
that...
I looked that up because I remember it was a long time ago, Format. I think we were talking about...
Galaxy Far, Far Away.
I think we were talking about on a podcast like right before they bought them, remember? We were making fun of...
We
were making fun of the fact that Mickey Mouse was going to be wearing Wolverine claws and...
Right.
Remember? I remember that.
But we did that joke with every
in 2000. So in 2008, it was its own company, and then in 2009, Walt Disney bought Marvel.
There you go.
Yeah, there you
it's
go. What
been from Phase One? It's been Disney.
So from 2000? No,
it's not. That's not in 2008.
Phase One started with two movies.
Okay,
Phase One is six movies.
Movies. Hold on. If I remember it right, and I'm pretty sure I do. Their initial deal was that they had a certain amount of money that they had an agreement with Paramount to make those films.
Right.
So until they'd finished those films that they'd planned to make with Paramount, after that point, Disney took over.
Right.
I think Disney bought it once that contract lapsed.
Right.
Yeah.
Paramount.
If I remember it right, and I'm pretty sure I do. Something like that.
After the second Iron Man film, Paramount gave up the rights to Iron Man for the money. Universal held on to the rights of the Hulk movie franchise. Yeah. So they held on
for
to the Hulk.
For some reason.
And now that's why the Marvel Studios can't make an official Hulk movie, but they can use the Hulk as a character. So it's one of those issues where it's all about
money,
rights and money and legal jargon and blah, 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 blah. But as we all know, this is the reason why we got something as cool as Guardians of the Galaxy. Do you think that if Marvel really had all of their characters back, that we would have ever seen Guardians of the Galaxy? Never. If they had Fantastic Four, they would have been making that. If they had had the X-Men, they would have been making that. We would never have gotten Guardians and how good that is. Well, I don't even think we would have gotten Thor, for that matter, in my opinion. It's the fact that they didn't have the rights to these characters that they had to come up with other Marvel characters to use, and that's why we got some really cool things. Like we were supposed to get the Inhumans, you know. They're thinking about rebooting Blade, things like that. So I think that's pretty cool. So anywho,
they have Blade again, but I don't think they're going to do anything with it.
Well, I would hope so.
Marvel has the rights to Blade back, but I guarantee you, if anything happens with that, it's going to be a Netflix show. Or something like
that. I hope they call it that. Yeah. Blade again.
Yeah. I hope they rehire Sticky Fingers. Blade again.
Blade reboot.
Yeah.
You know what? Flip the script.
Blade again.
Get Mara Van Peebles.
Mm. Oh, what?
I say make Blade a white guy.
You would.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that he knows martial arts. We should make him an Asian
guy.
That would turn this time.
That would turn Blade on its head. So that'd be awesome.
Why do you hate our fans?
I don't know if I can hitch my wagon to this train.
I'm sorry. Well, you could have white.
As much as I support Ghost in the Shell, I don't know if I can support a white Blade.
I don't think I could either. I was just making jokes.
But on the opposite end of that, all right, let's think about this for a minute. Is the fact that he's black that important to the character? Is that an essential component to what makes that character that character?
Yeah, what created him? He's a black exploitation character.
Because on the flip side of that, if Bruce Wayne was a black guy, that story still works.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
It's not important what race he is.
But I don't think race is necessarily the most important part of any given character, but Blade was created as a black exploitation character.
He was, right?
Huh. I mean, that is who he was, and Wesley Snipes certainly did some black exploitation with him.
He made his appearance in the Tomb of Dracula, right?
Tomb of Dracula number 10 was the first appearance of Blade.
Right. So, and he was in that.
And in his first appearance, if you watch the Venture Brothers, the triumvirate of magical guys, and one of them is obviously Doctor Strange.
Right.
The other one's like a creepy friar kind of guy, and the other one is supposed to be an imitation of Blade, the original costume, which is like a Afro pimp with a purple jacket and green pants, and you know what I mean.
He's
got actually like a giant collar.
Yeah, he's a copy of what the original Blade actually looked like in the comics.
Well, here's the thing, is that
Morpheus had a really crazy costume,
too. Tomb of Dracula was a horror comic when Blade was...
Or Mobius, I mean.
When Blade appeared. It wasn't necessarily a blaxploitation comic book. His appearance wasn't...
He's a blaxploitation character.
I'll give you that.
His first appearance is in 1974.
I'll give you that. So then why didn't Blade take on Blackula? That would have been awesome.
Why are you talking this guy, punk?
That's... That'd have been awesome. I love Blackula, by the way.
Blackers.
Tropical Mexicans.
Yeah, that's good too. Anyway, we're out of time.
I just read that Spider-Man Homecoming is going to be distributed by Columbia.
Yes, of course. Because Spider-Man is still owned technically by Sony.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that's the name of the
game. I enjoy the fact that Sony is humble enough to be like, all right, we obviously have no idea what the hell to do with this anymore. Help us.
Right.
I actually respect the fact that Sony...
Totally respect that.
Totally ate it up and just said, you know what, Fox would follow suit.
But they weren't like... They had the Raimi series, which was good enough on its own. Until 3 came out. Even 3 was like a half-decent movie without most of the crap added in.
Yeah.
And then they rebooted it.
Because they got Sandman's costume right.
They did. And Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield was a decent movie with the lizard. That was
the very first one. That was good.
It's just that
I don't know what happened where they did the second one, if that was endemic to them being with Sony and Sony just humbled themselves and were like, Disney, you're doing so great, help us
see
out.
That, but 2 came out in that period where Sony was just like, you know what, let's do that shared universe
Sinister
thing.
Six, let's do it all! Right.
You know, they didn't want to do, let's unify with Marvel, let's just take Spider-Man and make it our own Marvel type of thing, and right. let's make an Aunt May spin-off movie and the Sinister
well,
Six movie.
They could have done the Ultimate Universe. They could have done the Spider-Verse.
They could have.
Had a bunch of different Spider-Man.
But it didn't work.
Well, what did they...
At least what they tried didn't work.
Okay, so what did Columbia own? Columbia owned Spider-Man and his Rogues Gallery.
Prospective characters.
Right, but they
didn't... Within that... Yeah.
Right, within... And that was it.
So anything tied to the Spider-Man character, which is still...
I'm pretty sure
that's still weird things to navigate around, because Kingpin is still Spider-Man but Marvel...
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of play them on both?
Both sides, yeah, for sure. So, you know, but to be honest...
There's that random character that you can play on both ends of the field and probably get away with it.
Yeah, and I think... Like
I know you can Google it. I've seen a list that broke it down to what characters are owned by what. And there aren't a lot of characters that split the field, as it were, you know, are on, like, multiple things.
Random
but there
ones
are
here and there.
Yeah, no, there are.
Most of them are an either or. Like, they're either under this production company or under this one.
They should do a Quicksilver versus Quicksilver, like, race.
That would be interesting. I would
multiverse, like,
but
movie.
But let Bryan Singer direct that.
Because he likes boys.
I'm going to have to say.
Well, he does. He does.
I have to say though, I don't think
he doesn't like because
he knows what to do with Quicksilver. Joss Whedon didn't know.
I don't think Bryan Singer should do another X-Men movie. I think they should bring somebody else.
did you not see how he's directing the pilot for the new X-Men show?
I know. I'm thinking that they should bring back Matthew Vaughn from First Class.
But he's up to do Man of Steel.
Yeah,
looks like.
I know.
And you know what? I actually like that choice.
I do too. And like I said, I'm an advocate for
Man
of
Steel. Yeah, nothing could go wrong when you get the X-Men guy to direct a Superman movie. Right?
For the record, speaking of X titles,
okay,
I'm
but
really
in
digging
in
on
this
Legion.
Case, yes. They already have an
Legion
established Superman
fantastic.
That kind of sort of works, so they're okay.
We haven't
really
covered any of the shows that are going on right now.
Ironically enough, we haven't.
Do you say erotically enough?
Erotically enough.
How are we supposed to erotically cover?
No, but the interesting thing is about Legion is that they have already introduced a new villain. Who was it?
It's not a new villain.
They're
hinting that it's the Shadow King.
No. In the It's a new villain for the show, not for...
Yeah, I mean, that villain is going to eventually be revealed as the Shadow King, if they follow any kind of continuity, and they're dropping crazy hints that it's the Shadow King.
Super big.
Right.
So it's obviously going to... And because this only other villain who has this kind of power on that
Wasn't that
astral
the Nazgul in Lord of the Rings?
Could have been. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I haven't seen.
Isn't that what they called him, the Shadow King?
I think so. You might be right. I haven't seen Lord of the Rings in forever.
The Rings.
Read a book.
Okay, maybe this is why the X-Men films haven't been successful. Maybe
because they don't have Legion.
Are you kidding me?
No.
What X-Men film has not been successful?
I mean, successful for the fans. Maybe Legion
fans of the films.
Right. Maybe the.
It's not one of those movies. Even the worst movie. Did well.
Maybe the television shows are the medium that X-Men belongs in because you can tell you can tell more coherent stories and deal with multiple characters on multiple episodes, and you're not you're not squeezing in so many characters in a 2-hour movie. So maybe Legion works because of that. Maybe the new
they get away.
But Legion narrows it down to one character.
Well, also
so that concept worked better as a movie.
But they also add other mutants that aren't canon mutants, or maybe they bastardize a bunch and we don't even know because they ruined them so bad. But that, I mean, on TV you can get away with that. Like, his love interest is obviously not somebody that we know.
Right.
She doesn't have any powers that correlate to any popular mutants.
I don't
we
think
know.
You should let him get away with it, Alika. I think you should.
It's a good show.
You need to write a letter.
She's definitely a ripoff of Rogue.
She's like Rogue, but with different powers adjusted. No, I totally agree. But
well,
she's not Rogue, so
Rogue
like,
was Jubilee from the cartoon. I mean, like, that was the character.
So for you, Legion, for you, Legion, Alika, is forgivable. I mean, it's not forgivable,
it's good.
Okay.
You guys are, like...
So what makes it good?
Technically, in the comics, good. Legion's costume is sweatpants.
Well, here, this is what makes it good. Is Legion is a character that not a lot of people know a lot about,
mm-hmm.
and the things that everybody knows about him... are is not enough for anybody to nitpick on anything that's he gets represented as.
So what you're saying is his story's good.
And the story that they're telling is good. It's enthralling. The pace at which they're telling it is good. You feel like you're discovering things at a you know, organic rate. And, like, things are, you know, it's a rewarding story to hear. And things, the twists are not expected when they come. You know what I mean? And we're only, like, what, 4 episodes in?
Five.
Mm-hmm. Five. It's great. About. It's good.
Okay.
It's good. So, I've been a fan of the character for, since the first...
And so for anybody who doesn't know, he's the illegitimate son of Professor X. Yep. He goes back in time and kills Professor X, and that's what triggers the actual Age of Apocalypse. Not whatever happened in the movie, of course.
So what you're saying is that Legion has a very strong story that they're telling in this 13-episode arc, I guess. And it's not about the costumes.
No, but Legion didn't have a costume.
What I'm saying, though, is
Legion didn't have a costume.
I get that. But what I'm saying is that this is an X-Men universe. It's an X-Men universe that you actually
Legion's costume was hospital scrubs from the comic, so he was wearing his costume.
But it's not about the costumes. It's about
totally
the story.
Now, because I decided it is. Because now that I found that loophole that he wore scrubs in the comics and he was wearing scrubs in the show. And actually, you know, Legion really didn't have a costume in the comics, but
a pair of sweatpants.
In the first place, they had him locked up with all those other, you know, crazies. The costumes they were wearing there were actually sharp enough to be like, wow, that could have been the X-Men movie. If everybody at the Xavier Institute was wearing that, okay, I would have been on board.
Interesting.
But instead, it's got to be a Looney Tune bin with Legion and everything, and they're in
all these politically incorrect terms. D3. Crazies. Looney Tune bin.
Sorry.
Man. Crazy.
Hey, anyway. Sometimes you got to call a spade a spade.
I guess so. Listen, gents, we're going to get out of here before we get into another heated debate about the X-Men.
So me and Todd can beef it out in the parking lot.
That's what you didn't see was Todd rolling his eyes at me because of your antics.
Wait, someone put the mic down, so I knew he was doing something pissy.
I got nothing.
Well, we are out of time, boys and girls. This has been an extended episode of the Nerd Watch podcast. We have gone over for this one. Luckily, this won't be on Akaku, but we did go a little bit over.
This is good. This is bringing back the olden days.
We used
to have 3-hour shows.
We just got to talk about yellow spandex.
I miss the long shows.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I know.
Well, 3-hour shows with a cast of 10.
Well, because I listen to these podcasts later, and mm-hmm. I like having the longer podcasts, because after an hour, you're like, but I wanted to argue with those guys.
See, but that's what I like about the shorter podcast. You're like, dang, man, I want to listen to another one. And let's do another one. So anyway, getting back, we're not going another 3 hours, but we are going to get out of here. We're getting out of here like an hour and 27 minutes, if you can believe it.
Yeah, and then we're going to start again.
Then we're going to do a magnum.
And then we're going to do a magnum. We're out of time, boys and girls. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy playing some really cool games. I picked up Ghost Recon Wildlands, which is a lot of fun right now, especially if you're playing in co-op. Check that out.
Do you ever finish a game?
No.
It sounds like you start a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And then never...
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, you got it. No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what I do. And that's
like,
not
I see you log in, and then, like, you're about 20 minutes in, and you log out.
Yeah, that's what I do. It's what I do. It's crazy. That's my whole gaming regimen. Enjoy
your life saddens me.
Yeah, Ghost Recon Wildlands. I'll finish a game someday. I'm almost finished with the first Tomb Raider.
What?
Is that for PC? You still running Windows 95 to get that?
She's still wearing the Madonna comb, bro.
I just met up with the dinosaur in the one. So anyway, we're out of time. We'll be back next week talking about more movies, more games, more television, and of course, man, these last 2 weeks we really haven't been talking much about The Walking Dead or The Flash or anything.
Because none of that matters.
None of that matters right
now. It's all about being together.
Yeah,
with your fellow brethren.
And maybe
hate.
Next week we can get to
nerd hating.
And then Alika can give us because he's playing the Switch. Maybe next week Alika can give us more details on Breath of the Wild and what he thinks of the Switch and give us
more?
His review of it. Yeah, I want to know more about the Legend of Zelda.
Yes, please. For sure. Enthrall us with your tales of dying over and over.
I want to know about this. I want to
know. Keep breaking.
Sweet.
I want to know about this Breath of the Wild game that was $350, along with the system. So I'm really interested to see because it's the only game worth playing apparently right now. So I'm very interested.
Yeah, if you're playing Horizon Zero Dawn right now, you are losing.
Right. Anyway.
You know what's so funny? Earlier, Aliga was like gushing about the game and he's like, oh yeah, you can go and you can grab all these ingredients and then toss them in the thing and cook them up and then you can eat them for
cooking
like,
is my favorite.
For buffs and all kinds of things. I'm like, oh yeah, that's
berries.
What you've been able to do in every other game. Like forever.
But that's the thing is,
it's on Zelda, so yeah, now it's cool.
I'm not a gamer. I just like Zelda, so.
Nice. Well, I'm glad.
Nothing's wrong with that.
We're out of time, boys and girls. I, of course, have been joined by very intelligent nerds. Of course,
and then
Todd.
Us.
And then us.
Todd Bernardi, Gannon Format, and, of course, the chairman of the Comic Book Board, Alika.
Last name.
No, you don't.
It's just Todd Bernardi.
Todd
Bernardi.
Sweet.
He represents white privilege on the show.
Yeah, the white guy is the only bloodline that matters.
I thought that was you.
No. Well, that's because you're from New Mexico. I'm not from New Mexico. I can't afford anything.
So technically he's a New Mexican.
That's right. That's true.
So why do you like him so much?
Why is it a white privilege thing then? Shouldn't he be Hispanic?
Possibly.
Is he New Hispanic?
He's a New Hispanic.
I'm New Hispanic.
New Hispanic.
Nice. We just created a new thing.
Alright, we did. We're out of time. Peace out. Much love and most assuredly
we're
always stay
than the
nerdy.
Old
we will see you guys next week, Tuesday.
Come see the New
Mexico. We're
gonna
stay on time next week, I swear. Until then, we say to you guys,
Blackters.
Blackters?